This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we're following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we redefine what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to American Muslim Project. I'm Asad Butt. Really excited to bring to you our guest today, Aiza Fatima. Aiza is a filmmaker, comedian, writer, actress, you name it. She is doing it in the entertainment world. I met Aiza earlier this year when we at Rufilion started venturing into the film space ourselves. She literally knows everyone in the Muslim community that is doing anything in filmmaking, and she's been a tremendous resource and really close friend. Today, we're going to be talking to Aiza about her film, Americanish, a movie starring Pakistani Muslim female characters in Queens, New York, who are navigating the, quote, consistent and sometimes conflicting demands of romance, culture, work, and family. I saw it last year, and I highly recommend it. The movie, which has been making its rounds at festivals over the past year or so, is set to hit theaters in October. Just really huge news from the Muslim creative community and the Muslim community in general. So we'll talk to Aiza about that and all of her other projects up after the break. Aiza, welcome to American Muslim Project. We're so grateful to have you on the show. My first question to you, I guess maybe, you know, high level, tell me about Americanish. Like, what is it? Where did it come from?
So Americanish is my first feature film that I co-wrote, produced, and acted in. And it actually comes from a one-woman play I started doing in 2011. I met this amazing filmmaker, Iman Zawari, quite a few years ago now. And we decided to go on this journey of turning characters from one-woman play to what became Americanish.
That's awesome. And this movie has been playing the festival circuit for the last whatever year, maybe 18 months. And now it is going to be coming to theaters. Is that right?
It's coming to theaters on October 6th. So we're getting a limited release in California, New York, and Arizona of all.
Oh, man. That's awesome. What does it mean to you to have this story coming to the big screen? I mean, I'm sure this is every filmmaker, actor's dream. Like, what does it mean to you?
Oh, first of all, I never thought it would. I mean, you know, it's just, it's amazing. It's actually remarkable, the journey this film has been. I've been working on this for 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and so many setbacks and so many no's throughout the way. You know, I never thought it would get this far. Just, you know, it took us so long just to even raise the funds. It's done completely independently and all with all of our investors are American Muslim.
That's amazing.
which is amazing. Yeah. Well, it's amazing because, you know, it's really hard to get our community on board
for sure,
with the art.
Can you actually, why don't you talk about that? What has that been like for you?
It's been really, really hard. So when we first started, there's so many no's. Again, we would meet like this, like million billionaire uncles. And I remember pitching to this guy I was in London in his very fancy townhouse, and he runs a foundation. At an hour in, it's just this uncle, and he just, like, after an hour, he goes, "You know what? I give to poor people, and you don't look like poor people,
oh
so no."
You look too nice.
I was like, "What?" You know, I think we're just like this community of people who are into building mosques.
Yeah,
that,
sure.
Honestly, my generation and everybody else is not even going to these mosques, and it's like they're not spaces for us, right? So it's interesting.
So the people that said yes, what is it that they, why did they say yes? What is it that they got excited about? Is it supporting Muslim artists? Is it supporting you in particular, Iman?
I think it was a combination of all of those things. And I think it's also people who got on board understand that we need to change popular culture and opinions, right? So, and you do that through art, and you do that through, in America, that's definitely like, pop culture is film and music, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I think these are people, and honestly, it's a lot of them are a slightly younger generation than our parents,
yeah.
Right? So I think that's the difference. Like, they're not, all of them are, that they're not immigrants.
Yeah.
So
for sure. You know, I mean, it's tough. I mean, even the other day I was talking to my dad, who has been, you know, supporting what we're doing here at Orfelion, and he's like, "I don't get it. I don't know what you're doing." You know, like, and you know, obviously he, I'm exaggerating, but, you know, I think there is this kind of, to your point, I think there is a younger generation of people that do get what we're doing, are excited about what we're doing, and want to support artists like you and me and other people that are doing, you know, cool things for the American Muslim community.
And can I be honest? I think everybody kind of wishes they were some kind of an artist, too.
Yeah, I think that's right. No, yeah.
I talk to so many people, and they're like, "I have a story I want to tell." I'm like, "Okay, you should write it."
Yeah, totally, like, yeah.
Because, you know, there are stories within us that only we can tell.
For sure.
I could never do it justice if I was, like, telling Asad's story.
Yeah, totally.
Only Asad can do it justice, yeah. You know?
And nobody and wants to hear my story.
No, they do. They do.
Isa, I found... Let me know if this is right. I was doing some research, and is the original title of this "My Cousin Sister's Wedding"? Is that right?
Oh my gosh, it's right. Oh, that goes, it takes me so back. So we were trying to come up with a title forever, and I just thought that was funny and interesting. We could never agree on a title because, you know, I think Iman was very adamant. She's like, "It shouldn't be Dirty Packy Lingerie." Like, that's...
that was...
because that title, it got me in so much trouble, that title, as you can imagine.
Explain what that was.
Oh my goodness. So that was the one woman show. And then, you know, I would get in trouble for the lingerie part. I would get in trouble for the Dirty Packy part, with depending on where I was
yeah,
in the world and
sure.
who I was talking to. So, and of course, you know, I think this film is very much like PG-13.
Yeah.
It's not what the play was, definitely a little bit more, I would say. So yeah, so then we kind of, it took us forever, but then we all agreed on American-ish, so, which just means all the colors of America.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess tell me about how the reception has been. I mean, I saw one review said this is a celebration of love, life and culture. It exudes joy and hope. I mean, I feel like this is the general sentiment of this movie. Tell me what it's been like as you've been premiering this across the country, across the world.
It's been amazing. So we had this amazing, like, 50 festival tour of America and beyond. We even made it all the way to the UK. And won like 25 awards.
Amazing.
It's been an amazing journey. And I never thought, you know, forever, by the way, before all of that happened, we were getting rejected everywhere.
Yeah.
For like years, we were just getting rejections. We were submitting the film, rejected, rejected. And then George Floyd happened. We were coming out of the lockdown. And all of a sudden, this film became so relevant.
That's amazing.
Which, yeah. And then everybody wanted to program it. And, you know, so CAM was the first people, which is Asian, the largest Asian festival in North America. And they really gave us a platform, and we won the audience award there. After that, because like they uplifted us, I really believe this. And I think other festivals started to program. And then, you know, this long journey later, it's just been amazing. People love it. I think our communities just want to see themselves in their experiences.
Totally.
And we've never had like a mainstream film that portrays American Muslim women.
Yeah.
That was actually made by American Muslim women.
Right. Yeah, that's
it was
true.
Never yeah, had sure. that happen. And so it's even more exciting to be getting a theatrical release, you know, before the film goes to video on demand.
So are you, you know, you have a couple kids, I believe. Are you like the super cool mom because you're a movie star? Like what or are they? What is it like?
No one ever thinks you're super cool that and your family never thinks that you're super cool. Let's be honest, guys. I mean, listen, I remember being a kid and like being super creative and I'd be like telling stories and like making up like imaginary friends and things. And my family was like, Isa, you're so weird. Like, I didn't know. I'm like one of nine kids. I got made fun of for my wild imagination. No one cultivated it. No one was like, hey, Isa's so creative. Let's put her in a writing class. No one. They were like, Isa's so weird. That's why so do weird. You say these things? So I think you get no cool credits from anyone in your family ever.
That's amazing. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll continue our conversation with Isa Fatima. Welcome back to American Muslim Project. Isa, you grew up in Mississippi, of all places.
Sure did.
I didn't know Muslims were in Mississippi. Pakistani Muslims, what was that like?
No, it was great. You know what? It was a small college town. It was a bit of a bubble. And I think wherever you grow up, you love. So I do have really fond memories and really great memories. And honestly, I'm just like trying to, as an adult now, also process all of that because there was racism there. Of course
sure.
there was. But it was like, it was very much like a underhanded kind of racism. It wasn't in your face kind of racism. It was the kind of racism where people just didn't know.
Mm.
They just didn't know, you know, so it was just like all cutesy. It was like, oh, you're so exotic.
Mm, sure. Yeah. Were you like you know? Amongst mostly Only. White people or were there other?
No.
Okay.
It was very mixed. Okay. In fact, at one point, I remember in my high school, there was a whole conversation about how whites were a minority and there were more black kids in school.
Wow.
It was a public. Yeah. Yeah, but it was same. It was like 50-50. Okay. So it was white and black, and then Isa.
you were like, yeah, when the votes happened, you could, yeah, go on.
I remember a kid, like in eighth grade, used to be like, hey, what are you? Are you white or are you black? Literally, people were like, what are you?
How would you respond to something like that?
I mean, I didn't really know. I was just like, no. I was like, you know, oh, it's also so interesting, you know, growing up there, it was like, it was so difficult. I think things have changed so much in America and for like second generation people, right? So because I was told by my parents, you're not American.
Mm.
They were like, you're Pakistani, you know? So then I'd be telling people I was Pakistani. And then I was told by society where I was living that I was also not American.
Wow.
So it's been, I think even like making American, it's just been such a, like a just, I think I write, and I think all writers do this, to write to figure out the things that they're struggling with. And so for me, identity is always front and center.
Sure.
And so I think Americanish has been this big thing of me figuring out. And now I'm writing something about growing up in Mississippi, actually undocumented.
Oh, interesting. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm like, and that's also about identity.
The government
isn't
listening.
And now I'm not undocumented anymore. Hello, government. In case you're listening, I am a U.S. citizen. So I'm like, I'm trying to figure out that part of my childhood. It was such a big part of my
identity. Did you know that growing up?
I didn't know it for a long time.
Wow. When did you find out?
I didn't know it until I was 16.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know it. And then I found out, and then I was like, oh, shoot. Like, I'm never going to be able to go to college.
Yeah. So did you get a driver's license?
I know. Well, it's so weird in Mississippi because it's just, you know, it's a very poor country.
For sure.
State. I was going to say it's a poor country.
It feels like a different country.
It is a small country. Also, no, it's just like, it's so interesting. They don't push those laws like they don't know to. So I went to go get my driver's license. Just nobody cared.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's like one of those states where nobody cared. They didn't know to care, you know? People just thought I was Mexican, you guys.
Yeah,
they're like, what are you? And that's fine. Yeah. You know, it was just this crazy anyway. So, yeah.
That's crazy. So I guess, how do you describe yourself now to people when they ask you American, Pakistani?
Then it became... I think it's like, it's interesting, like post 9/11 and like being an adult, you know, in this world and navigating all of that. And also, I would never tell people I was undocumented, of course. So I was just like, I'm American. It was very much that.
Yeah.
And just kind of erased my whole, that part of my identity. And I think right now I'm just again writing about it to figure that out and work it out for myself and be like, okay, it's okay to be an immigrant, to be undocumented. It doesn't. you can still be American and be those things. You know, yeah. You can still be Pakistani and also be American. And you can be Muslim and you can also be American. So it's like all these parts of, I think, my identity make me a stronger, better American.
Yeah, for sure. You actually, yeah. I think you started your career as a microbiologist. Is that right?
I sure did.
And then how do you go from that to being a filmmaker and writer, director, producer, or, you know, all that kind of stuff.
All the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just, you know, in my house, as you know, a lot of Pakistani Muslim households, it's just like you either study science or you study math. I always thought those were my two options. So I was just like, well, I don't know what I would just teach if I did math. So I guess I'll just study science. And I was pretty good at both of them. So I did. I studied microbiology. And I thought I was going to cure cancer or something.
Hey, you're still good. You're still good.
I know. And then it just shifted. I was still undocumented. And then I remember I had this internship offer in New York. And they just assumed I was a U.S. citizen. Oh. I came and I took that offer and it was in tech. It was an internship in tech. And yeah, it's crazy. It just led me down this whole other path. And yeah, and I worked in tech for a while. And then I think it was when I started working at Google, and it was a very creative space. And everybody was super doing, like, you know, the ballroom dancer / Googler, the ballerina professional,
sure.
Whatever.
/ Googler. Yeah, right.
So then I was just like, oh, I'll just do something for fun. And I took a acting class for fun at NYU. And then it just kind of led me down this path.
Nice. Awesome. And I guess, would you consider yourself a comedian at heart?
I do comedy. I do stand up. So yeah, I mean, I do. I think a lot of the, even when I wasn't doing stand up, I just started off in acting. I was just like always doing comedy. I was like, I'm a comedy actor. long time. Yeah.
Well, what's it been like? What, how would you describe your comedy in terms of, just like what kind of subject matter and stuff like that?
I think it does tackle a lot of identity, identity politics in America and what that looks like as well. And then just about, you know, my crazy ass childhood, just growing up in Mississippi with one of nine. And there's a lot to mine from that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, totally. What are you working on nowadays?
So I have this pilot that's hopefully coming out soon. It's called Muslim Girls DTF. Discuss there weekly.
Oh, interesting. So, okay. All right.
It's, we have kind of, because there's, it's like double strike times right now. My co-creator, Athira Yacoub, and I have pivoted that to a live show. So it's going to be part of New York Comedy Festival this year. And we're doing a live stand-up show, Muslim Girls DTF, City Winery on November 11th. So I have a couple of other just kind of stand-up shows coming up throughout the country. And then I go abroad to do a show as well. So that's exciting.
That's awesome. Tell me more about this Muslim Girls DTF. So what kind of stuff are you going to be tackling?
Yeah, so that actually I created as a response to just the monolithic nature of when we see Muslim women on screen. It's like they're battered or abused, or they have no voice, or, you know, I won't name the film, but a very big film made by a Muslim comedian who portrayed Muslim women as just like, you know, they had like these one lines. They were like the butt of the joke, kind of.
Sure.
And so that really bothered me. And I was like, well, there's such a diversity of thought and practice and experience within the Muslim American community. So I was like, why don't we ever see Muslim women that way? And so that was kind of a response to all of that. I was like, let's just, so I got together with a bunch of American Muslim female comics, and the project we started in 2018, and it just kind of, it was like this thing that we released just on YouTube. It was a series of questions that we asked comics and their responses to, like, hey, do you date? Do you eat pork? Do you like chocolate? Whatever. It was just basic stuff like that. Body hair is a very, you know, it's a good topic, near and dear to my
own
heart.
Yeah,
so.
Yep, same.
Yeah, so, you know, we in the desi world have so much of it.
Totally.
I know, right? So I do. I mean, I say my sisters, I have two sisters, and they inherited my mom's good-looking genes, and I inherited my dad's hairy back. That's basically, people are like, yes, that's beautiful. And here I said, I'm like, you think it ends on my head? You think it ends there? Let me tell you, it does.
Amazing. That's hilarious.
So yeah, so anyway, so that project is just, I wanted to showcase diverse American Muslim female comics.
I love it. Yeah, I saw some clips of it.
Look how different we are.
Yeah, it was really funny, really eye-opening and really well done, you know, from what I saw.
Yeah, totally. It's just stuff we're not talking about, too, as a community. For sure. You know, why don't we tackle more of this? Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
So then how can people support the film? Because it is coming out in theaters. What? How can we help?
Buy tickets. Come out and see the show. Buy out the whole theater if you can, please. Yeah. And give away the tickets to your friends. No, I think word of mouth is huge. Like, you can follow us on social media. And just like amplify what we're doing, you know, there, come out and see it, tell your friends about it. And it's releasing quickly on October 6th.
Amazing. Can you name one place where people can find you?
Yes. Instagram.
And what's the handle?
Oh, sure. It's just Aiza Fatima. It's just me. I'm on all the socials. It's just Aiza Fatima. Please come find us. And then Americanish Film and then Muslim Girls DTF. Those are our handles across Amazing. All the platforms.
Thank you so much, Aiza, for this conversation. It's been really great, and I love what you're doing, and We're Following On is going to be supporting you and Americanish, and we can't wait to see it in theaters.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you. Thank goodness for Rafaelion, because you guys are doing amazing work.
We appreciate that.
And that no one else is doing. I think it's really, yeah, I can't wait to see what you guys do next.
Aiza, thanks so much for coming on the show. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with the sound check with producer Ari. Welcome back to American Muslim Project. Now we're trying a new segment called Soundcheck with our producer Ari, who will give us their reaction to what just happened. So Ari, your thoughts on Aiza?
Oh, she was great. I really loved that conversation. First off, body hair as a subject, fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, you're not Pakistani. How do you deal with body hair?
Oh, gosh. I mean, no, I'm not Pakistani, but gender funky. I've had an interesting relationship with body hair. I'm embracing it, but also I inherited my dad's hairy arms and
you
everywhere.
You can't see, but Ari is showing their hairy arms to me right now. Yeah, we're like comparing it live on video.
Yeah, I had a complicated relationship with that, and you know that I love the opportunities to explore people, we're all funky. We all have our different little things than what,
totally.
You know, we expect from TV or, you know, whatever common media we share. We're all individuals. And I loved that aspect of sharing the diversity of individuality of experience, even within your community. And even when your community is seen as small or minority, we have such an array of experiences. Yeah. I really loved
totally.
That.
That was definitely a cool message. I also feel like, you know, we all, if we have these kind of issues with ourselves, with the body hair or whatever, it always seems bigger to us as opposed to people looking at us from the outside, right? Like, I think that's,
does.
Like, you know, I would never have noticed your arm hair before, right? And now that I know it, I'm going to point it out every time we get together.
Yeah, you're going to see it every single time.
Just look at your arms nonstop.
No, but it is interesting. Also, she's talking about, you get this from your parents or you get that. And I always felt like I was the dumping pot of the worst genes of my parents and everything.
But also the best, right? Also the best.
You know, maybe I've learned how to use what I've been born with and cultivate those skills.
Yeah, totally. Well, thanks, Ari. That is our show for today. I want to thank our guest, Aiza. I want to thank our producer, Ari. And we'll see you all next week.